authors is Philip Yancey, and of the more modern writers, I should say, one of the writers who's still alive. And one of the books that he writes is Where's God When It Hurts? You know, it's very easy to praise God and to trust Him in the good times. It's very easy to say, praise God, when everything's going exactly the way we want it to go. But what do we do when things get very, very difficult? What do we do when things aren't moving forward in the way that we had hoped, in the way that we had prayed for? Has anybody here ever prayed for something and felt like it was honoring God? It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Maybe it's for a family member's health or for something that's big or for a job or for, and you prayed and you prayed and you trusted God and you trusted. And exactly what you hoped wouldn't happen takes place. What do we do then? What do we do then? In Philip Yancey's book, Where's God When It Hurts, he tells a story. I was just reading that this week, and he tells the story of Brian Sternberg, a nationally acclaimed track star, who held the record in the pole vault in 1963 when he was 19 years old. He was this up-and-coming guy. He was on the track to be just the number one guy in the pole vault. And as he was training on the trampoline, he went off of it and he landed on his head and neck. And he broke his neck and he had no movement from the neck down. Brian is a strong believer and he trusted God and he prayed. And the Christian magazine Look came and met him about a month or 2 months after it had happened and did an interview with him, talking to him about his faith, talking to him about everything that had happened. And at that point in his life, I believe his theology, which sets us free, was correct, which was, I trust that God is going to heal me. I have faith that God can heal me. But if He doesn't, I trust that He'll give me peace. In the midst of all this junk. Well, as Philip Yancey was writing this book, Where's God When It Hurts, he wanted to do a personal interview and meet him. And it was about 2 years later. And he went to meet Brian, and Brian by that time had a lot of, because he was well known, he had a lot of big pastors, big name pastors come and speak to him. And a lot of big name Christians that were famous come and speak with him. And as they'd come and they'd prayed for healing, and Brian, you got to have more faith. Pretty soon, it came to a place where when Philip Yancey talked to him a couple years later, he only had one way out. God is going to heal me, and that's how I'm going to experience peace. That I know that's going to happen. Now I've talked with, and he left no room for God's hand to be different than his wish, than his desire. He had listened to the theology and the well-meaning. It's not that these pastors and famous people that had come were coming to bring a burden to him. They'd come to bring a blessing and to pray for him. Does anybody here have somebody that you love dearly, that you've been praying for and praying for and praying for, and things aren't where you think, what you think is best for that person? Raise some hands. Oh my goodness, yes. You know, I share every blue moon that pray for my dad. I've been praying for my dad since before I was a Christian. that he would come to faith. And he seems to be as far from God now as ever before in many ways. That's a good prayer, isn't it? It's a good prayer. It's a God-honoring prayer. How about pray for loved ones who are... We pray for things. Well, today we're going to hit a story of... A very famous story. And the thing that I love about this famous story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is their hearts of trusting God. So let's jump in here. We're going to hit certain parts of this, but let's look at the first three verses of the chapter of Daniel 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So all these guys and all the providential officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. So he sets up, remember the dream? Remember where we were at the end of Daniel 2 last week? The king, Nebuchadnezzar, seems so close. He had had this dream, and Daniel had interpreted it for him, and he was so moved, and he said, anybody who doesn't follow that God of Daniel's, man, if you talk poorly against it, you got trouble coming. And he seemed to be warming up to God. And Daniel interpreted the dream, and rather than that dream being something that warned Nebuchadnezzar about this giant statue with these different parts to it, it's almost like Nebuchadnezzar then takes the dream and says, I'll build this statue. And he builds it, imagine, 9 floors high. That's how tall, 90 feet is 9 stories high of a building. Think about it, back in that day, how tough that would be to make and make so it stands and stands strong. And then to the one side, he has the throne. And where he and others sit of the statue. And on the other side of the statue, he has this furnace that he heats up and gets it really hot. And he says, now, when the music plays, everybody in the land needs to bow before the statue. You need to bow. As soon as you hear it, you need to bow or you're going to get thrown into the furnace. And so the sound comes, and in verse 8 it says, at this time some astrologers came forward and announced the Jews. They said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sounds of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. But you know what? There are some Jews whom you have set before the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Guys, imagine this. This God, this king who seems so close to God, who seems so close to making a step forward, to trusting the God of Daniel, has now set up this statue. And he's saying, when this music plays, you got to bow down or go in the furnace. And as he's doing that, here's these other leaders that are jealous of these three Jewish young men who have been rising up in authority and power. How do you deal with somebody who's moving up the ladder? Oh, thank you very much. I've got 2 cups of wine. Thank you. Thank you, sir. How do you deal with somebody who's moving up the ladder and is going in a different direction than you want to go? Well, you can slam them down, can't you? You can find a way to bring them down. And that's what the other leaders were trying to do. And they were bringing attention to the king. Hey, here's these guys. They won't bow down. They won't do it. So these members were brought before the king, and they were given another chance, and they refused. They refused knowing that they would be thrown into the fire. And this is what it says in chapter 16, in verse 16 of chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And these are powerful verses, guys. Listen to this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter." I love that. We're not going to defend ourselves. Well, who is? Verse 17. "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king." He's going to rescue us. If you throw us into the furnace, we have a God who we serve, and he's powerful, and he will rescue us. And they believed it in their hearts, but they had such faith that didn't stop there. Verse 18, "But even if he does not," guys, that statement right there takes more faith. That takes more faith. Because God will save me. And I believe it. I know he can. And if it's what's best, it's what he will do. But then to have the faith to say, "But even if he doesn't." Guys, that's faith. "But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Wow. As I was reading through this, some things came to my mind. Because these guys are standing in a way that their lives are at stake. And think about all the different excuses. Good, guys, these are great excuses. These excuses have some weight to them. The first excuse I thought of was, you know what, it's useless to resist. This is the king. This is the king. It's not like we can stand against the king. We're not kings. We're from another land. This is the king. You know what we'll do? God will understand. God will understand. We can't bang our heads against the wall. God doesn't want us to do that. We can't go against kings. You know, let's do it just this once. Another excuse. This isn't our land. We're strangers in this land. This is not where we're from. So this is the customs of the people. We can give into the culture a little bit. This isn't our land. Got to tell you, there were times I was on a trip with some pastors as we were on this trip, we were in a place where we're in a place where there was a lot of opportunity for men, where prostitution was legal. And I was so shocked and so disappointed because so many men from the West were there. And it was like, I'm not in my land. I get to do what I want. It sickened me. I wanted somebody to say to these guys, I wanted somebody to come up to them and let them know that what they were doing was wrong. And so I would see these men in a foreign land, and I walked up to them, and I just stand and look at them as they're in the midst of picking. Sometimes these 13, 14-year-old girls, 15-year-old girls. And I just look at them and say, sometimes I just look at them. Other times I'd say, I see what you're doing. It's not right and you know it. And some of the other pastors were like, Pastor Matthew, you can't really do that, can you? I was like, somebody needs to let them know. Somebody needs to let them know. Sometimes when we're in foreign lands and foreign places and places that are not our home, it's almost like there's an excuse that can come in. But it doesn't honor God, does it? Another excuse they could have come up with was, hey, we're in office. God has blessed us and put us up here. We're able to make some real changes. I think of our government and people who have gone into government and they go in and they're thinking, I've come to make change. And then how many times have we seen people go and the big vision that they have becomes a small vision and then they get more and more stuff and success and corrupted. And you see, when you start giving in to what you believe to be right, it's a lot easier to give in the next time. And Satan never says, you know what? You should be way over there. What he says is, where you're standing is okay. But this is okay too. And, you know, I'm not saying go down that. That's wrong over there. But this is okay. And we would never want you to be that far away. Because it's so wrong. But just one step is, it's a small thing that you're giving in. And pretty soon you've taken little step by little step and you find yourself in a place that you thought you would never be. Guys, what a great excuse. God's given us authority to make changes. And if we do this, we might lose that authority. And then the classic one, the one that everyone, every person of every age can relate to. Everybody's doing it. Right? Everybody's doing it. And literally, everyone there was bowing. But they remember the scriptures that we talked about shortly last week. Which was he shall bow before no other gods but me. You shall worship no other gods, no other false statues. You shall only worship the one true God. And they valued that. And their response is, God can save us. And he will save us. And we believe he will save us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bow to this false statue, this false God. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. And commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So he gets the big boys. The big guys, you know. The bouncers of the day, right? And they're going to force it. And he heats the furnace up 7 times hotter. 7 times hotter. Why? Because he's, what is the word? Furious. He's furious. How dare they stand against me? you want to experience the wrath of those who are in power, who are self-focused, go against them. Stand up for what's right. Guys, one of the things that that I love about our church is it's not led by a pastor. It's not just me. It's not just, this is my whim of the week, and this is the direction we're going. This is what I want. Follow in line. We have a group of a team of elders. Because that's what God's word says to do. And behind these elders, I mean, we're all broken vessels. And yet, in Christ, we can move forward. And man, I want to encourage you guys. If there are things that are on your hearts, concerns that you have about the church, ideas, areas of excitement that you have about the church, about different ministries, come and talk to us. I'll never forget when Dave came and talked to me about his desire for with homeless and with reaching out into the community, and it ended up being right out at Serenity Hall. And Dave was gone this weekend, and Homer set up, I closed up, and we took over for Dave while he was gone, and I learned about 2 seconds in, it's not my first time there, but it was a reminder of how challenging it sometimes can be. All of a sudden there's a fight, and there's, whoo! Try and get in the way of things, and stand between people, and the police came. See, there's a cost to loving. Dave sees that every week. There's also the joy of the cost. You see, when you put yourself out there and you trust that God will make a way where there's no way, then you see the power of God revealed. And it is awesome. Sometimes it's in small ways. And you see just a twinkle of God's eye. And it's just this little blessing. And those are powerful, guys. Other times it's like this. The king sets the furnace 7 times hotter. He gets the big boys to take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and ties them up and throws them in. And as they're being thrown in, these guys that are throwing them in, they catch on fire. They burn. Verse 24 says, then King Nebuchadnezzar, as he sees that these guys have thrown them in And as they've gone in and the soldiers are killed, King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement as he asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the 4th looks like a son of the gods. See, he doesn't know who it is. We do. Verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they trusted God. Guys, this is a beautiful story. And it's a happy story. Why? Because it's got a happy ending. Do you think it would be shared as much if Scripture said, and the king threw them into the furnace, and they were burnt up? And the truth of God, maybe God finishes the story differently, right? Maybe somehow, in another way, God's truth is revealed, the blessing goes. You see, we love the happy ending. We desire happy endings. But I love what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, that even if he doesn't, they're not going to bow down. And so, verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar said, as he brings them out, and it says that they didn't even smell like fire. Not only were they not burned, but they didn't even have the scent of the flames. Have you ever smelled something that shouldn't be burned, that's burned? Clothing. Have you ever been to near a house after a house fire? It smells awful. They don't even have the scent of anything being burned. And then verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. How do we know that the king's heart isn't changing? He doesn't get it. He said, yeah, wow, look at this God. This is incredible. If you say anything bad about, now you can't say anything bad about Daniel and his God. Can't say anything bad about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their God. Same God. Why? Because I'll kill you and I'll kill your families. You see, religion misses God. Do you see it? Religion misses it sees the power of God, it misses the heart of God. It misses the love of God. Religion loves power. Faith needs Jesus Christ, desires Christ, depends on Christ. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They get promoted. They're blessed. I want to read from Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the chapter of faith. Hebrews 11 talks about the big names of faith. But something that's not as well known about Hebrews 11 is as it continues. And we look at man's hall of fame in Hebrews 11, 32 through 35, the first part of 35. And it says this. And this is after it's given all these examples of these great people of faith and how they've stood out and what they've done. And he says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms and ministered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. What a picture of faith. That's the kind of faith that we love. We write books about that kind of faith. That's man's hall of fame faith right there. But if we continue in the scripture, it gives us God's hall of fame. Let's keep reading. The second part of verse 35 of Hebrews 11. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. They were put to death by sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, and that means they were poor, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Guys, You see, those are God's hall of fame. Those are the ones that don't have the happy ending. Those are the ones that when you suffer, when you go through what God has called you to go through, and you suffer and you suffer and sometimes you die. And sometimes people outside of faith will look at that and say, where was God? Where was God? And I want to read this from verse 38. It talks about the graves and the holes in the ground. Then it goes on in verse 39. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. All of these were commended for their faith. Guys, I don't know. I don't know what it is you've been praying, what's nearest and dearest to your heart right now. Sometimes God works miraculously. Praise be to God. Sometimes he works in the midst of the storm, doesn't he? I'll never forget when in Uganda there was this wonderful older woman. And you know, there's certain people that when you meet them, you might meet them and have a conversation with them for 2 minutes, and it changes your life. That was my experience with this woman. She was wasting away. She was in a wheelchair. And she was dying slowly and had been for years. And she looked very, very old. She wasn't that old. She looked like she could be, but she wasn't old. She was just had been wasting away for years. Little by little, unable to keep weight, and little by little, each year, losing a little more, becoming more and more frail, losing more and more strength. A very slow, painful death that takes 8 to 10 years. And nothing could be done. And I was missionary Matthew. I was there to save the day. I was like the friends of the guy of the story, Brian, that I shared at the beginning, going in and, hey, let's pray for her. Let's get her healed. And it wasn't that I had wrong motives. It wasn't that I wanted something that dishonored God. I wanted to see blessing. But as I prayed with her, then she prayed. And after I had prayed a prayer of blessing and healing, you know what her prayer was? It changed my life. Threw me into a cocoon of struggling through what I had just heard. Her prayer was, God, give me the strength to suffer well and to glorify you in how I struggle. Missionary Matthew, there to save the day. I was undone, guys. Because I didn't understand at that point in my life that kind of faith. I was uncomfortable. I'm still uncomfortable with it to a degree. It still is. But even if he doesn't, it's another way to say it. But even if he doesn't, guys, where are you at? I promise one thing. God's word promises one thing. My promise means nothing. God's word means everything. What does God's word promise? Never leave us nor forsake us. And in the midst of all of it, we can have peace. So the one thing I can promise from the word of God, of what God's word says can take place, is that even if things don't change, we can have peace in the midst Our burdens don't have to be weary, big, and weigh us down and destroy us. God's yoke is easy and his burden is light. It doesn't mean the burdens of the world are light. It means we get yoked, connected with God himself, and he will go with us through it. And we are yoked to him. Just like the behind a plow, and you bring one bowl next to the other and you put it and you move forward. Why? Because the one that's been there doing it a long time knows what he's doing. The new one comes in and is yoked. That's how you teach a young ox how to, young cow how to move forward and pull in a straight line. God's doing it. And he's asking us, come by with him. And no matter how hard the ground is, if we are yoked with him, we will move forward and create life. Because when the ground is tilled, what do you have? You have fresh soil ready for planting and ready for the blessing. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. We can trust God. What do you need to trust him with? I want to take just a couple of minutes right now in prayer, just where we are at, seated. And if there's something that God has on your heart to pray for, to pray aloud. And I feel like rather than passing a mic to each person, just you can either sit or stand where you are. And if God has put something on your heart that you want to pray for the blessing or the healing, or pray for the peace for the person or for yourself through the process. Let's take a few minutes and lift this up to the Lord. And then at the end of a couple minutes, or however long we go, when things quiet down, then I'll close in prayer. Someone would like to start us off.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that you are so patient with your people, Lord. You take joy when we get it. You have such great pleasure when there's growth in our lives. And you have such patience when we blow it. Forgiveness and grace, mercy. And yet, Lord, you love us so much that you don't want us to stay where we've been. Lord, you don't want us to struggle in the lack of freedom of spirit because the situations in our lives aren't good or are a struggle or are difficult. Lord, you provide peace and joy in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of the storm. Father, thank you that sometimes you bring in the sunshine. And Lord, thank you that at other times you cover us as the storm rages on. Father, we've got so many people who have been so blessed. We've got so many people in this church, in this very family, Lord, who experienced healing and blessing. And we have so many others, Lord, that we've been praying for. And you've been moving in a direction that is different than what we had hoped. We thank you, Lord, that you know best. We thank you, Lord, that you are the same God, whether we get the answer we want or not. Father, we do pray for the people who are still suffering, who are still struggling. Lord, we do ask for peace and for blessing for them. Father, we also ask that if it is your will, that you bring blessing and healing. Because you are able. But Lord, even if you don't, We trust you, and we worship you alone. And we ask that you would bring peace where there's no peace. That you bring healing where there is brokenness. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, thank you so much for the power of your word. We rest not on what we know, what we see, what we think, what we feel. We rest on the truth of your word. And that's enough. Lord, thank you for our faith. Forgive us our unbelief. Forgive us for where we fall short, and thank you that you do. We choose today to trust you. Regardless of the outcome, we choose today to trust you because we know you are good. Bless us. Make us a blessing to many, Lord. For your glory to be seen, known, and for your glory to transform lives, Lord. And Lord, thank you so much that we serve a Savior who does the same, who knows what it's like to suffer for the blessing of others. Father, when we pray to you, we thank you that you are a God who knows the pain we are going through because you have personally experienced it. And we are grateful for that. We do not walk alone. You're good, God. You're holy. We love you back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.